things. Amen. I believe God does great things. Exceedingly, abundantly, above all you could ask or think. Amen. So your brain is not the end of what God is able to do. Let me say that again. Your brain is not the end of what God is able to do. God works beyond your brain's capacity to understand, to conceive, to believe. I heard a gentleman earlier this morning talk about the earth and its creation, and it said the earth has resonance, that it resonates, it vibrates because of sound, and it moves. And in creation, it was moved by sound. The Bible says God spoke and the world was formed. Amen. So speaking has power, and the earth still moves by sound today. It is still impacted by sound today. And when you speak, you create. Well, let me say it again. God created, and you're created in the image of God. And you can create tragedy or triumph. You write the future by your words. Not my sermon for the day, but you write the future by the words you say. Because, listen very carefully, I don't know why I'm saying it, but I am saying it. When you speak something, you speak it because you believe it. Out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaketh. Amen. And so when you speak fears, I'm afraid that this is going to happen. You don't use the word, I'm afraid this is going to happen. You'll accuse somebody. You're going to do it this way, or you did this bad thing, and you use very negative. You don't know all the details. You don't know all the truth. You don't know all the intent, but you just go ahead and believe it, and then you speak negatively. And you know what happens? Friends break up, boyfriends and girlfriends break up, marriages break up, people leave families, people push away from people because they believe some negative thing that somebody said at some point. What if you said beautiful things? What if you said great things? What if you said, I don't believe you intended that to hurt me. I believe you had other purpose for it. Let's talk about it. Amen. You could end up making lifelong friends. You make lifelong friends by loving people and by going ahead and forgiving people. Hallelujah. Maybe I should preach that sermon today. Because it's not, I don't hear anybody going, woo! That's a truth. Hallelujah. We're going to look, if you would, Acts chapter 1, verse 12. Acts chapter 1, verse 12. I think I'm preaching, it feels like a series. I just can't get away from Jesus leaving the earth and then Pentecost coming on May the 24th. We celebrate, I think it's the 24th, is the day of Pentecost that we celebrate, amen, which was Acts 2, verses 1 through 4, the day of Pentecost. What happened on the day of Pentecost, and we celebrate that here in a few weeks. So we're in the interim period from Easter to Pentecost. Easter to Pentecost was a 50-day time frame that God established when Israel came out of Egypt. They went to Mount Sinai, and God spoke to Moses and gave him what we call a tabernacle plan. And he gave them a celebration plan, a festival plan. And there were seven different festivals that were set up by God, established by God. And God said, I want you on this day to celebrate this festival. And for 1,500 years, Israel celebrated festivals because God said, I want you to celebrate them on this day. Without realizing, now this is the key part. Listen to me. This ties in with what I started with in the beginning. This is the key part. They celebrated for 1,500 years with no knowledge of what God intended to do. They had zero understanding that God had a purpose and He was going to accomplish something great on the days that they had been given to celebrate. And some of them were days of mourning, and some of them were days of celebration. And I don't have time to go through all that. I'm not giving a class on all the feast days of Israel. I'm just teaching a basic principle up front. I want you to understand that God established it, and Israel did it for 1,500 years before the real purpose of it came to fruition. So God was teaching. Why am I saying this? In starting the lesson, I want you to understand this basic fact. God has been teaching you your whole life. Regardless of you believe in God or understand God or know God, God is trying to put some principles in your life that He's going to show you what it all is about someday. I believe today might be the day for somebody in the room for them to go, oh, I should have had a V8. I mean, no, I realize God's been working in my life. And I'm all of a sudden awake to what all God's been trying to accomplish in my life. And if God can take 1,500 years to teach a people, He can take 32 or 38 or 44 or 65 years to teach you. Without your knowledge, without your clear understanding, you might say, well, I think there's some movement of God somewhere around me. I think there's a God somewhere out yonder there. Amen. But God wants you to know not a God that's just somewhere out yonder, but God wants you to know a God that's real and living inside of you, that God wanted to tabernacle inside of you, His presence move from the outside of you to the inside of you and live on the inside of you. The Bible calls it tabernacling, or the Old Testament idea, they set up a tabernacle, and when they ordained the tabernacle or they offered it to God and said, we're going to bless it and offer this as a space to God, the Bible says God came down in a pillar of fire and sat on the mercy seat, and His presence literally drove them out. They were driven out as the cloud of God filled the temple or the tabernacle that they had built. Literally, it was human hands, human gold, human silver, human fabrics, human tying it all together and setting it all up. But all of a sudden, God came down and moved into it. And that idea, that biblical truth, that God came down and lived at least temporarily between the cherubim on the mercy seat in the Holy of Holies, is the principle that God wants to live in you. Is the principle, let me say that again, that God wants to be alive in you. That God wants to literally live inside of you. Anybody in the room ever have that happen in their life? I really need to preach this harder, because I don't think very many people raise their hand that I know you've had it happen, but you didn't raise your hand. Amen. Let me try that again. Everybody that's had it happen, let's put up a hand. Amen. God's moved inside of me at some point in my life, filled me with His Spirit. Amen. He's tabernacling here inside of me. It's His intent. It's God's intent. It's God's intent to tabernacle inside of you. In case you're unaware of it, it's God's intent to pack a bag, amen, put His toothbrush in it, move into your life, and live inside of you, and be a light to your life and a guide to your footsteps. Amen. Bring you joy, peace, mercy, and grace. Amen. Wash away your old man. Derek, wash away your old man. Just got baptized. Amen. I'm telling you, God will do. Brother and Sister Hammond, God will do a work. I love saying that. Hallelujah. Amen. God will do an absolute work in your life. If you allow Him to continue to live there, God will. God wants to. I'll show you. Amen. Verse 12. Then return day. If you were here last week, you kind of maybe connect what I preached last week to this, if you would. I'll try to make a connection just to be clear. They returned unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James, not Judas Iscariot. Judas Iscariot killed himself after they took Jesus to be crucified. He realized he made a mistake, and he went and hung himself just a short distance away from this in a valley of Gehenna, the valley of the ever-burning fire. So he died there. So all except for him were in the room. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women, Mary, the mother of Jesus. Jesus's mother was in the upper room with his brethren. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together were about 120. I'm going to pause here. 120 gathered here after leaving Olivet. Let's talk about it, preach about it. Let God do a work in our life. Would you open your heart to God doing a work in your life today? Would you open your heart for God to do something maybe you've never seen before today? Because God's bigger than we imagine. Amen. God, we thank you for your great grace. God, in your abundant, overwhelming mercy. Your ways are high above our ways. God, your thoughts are high above our thoughts. I pray, God, that you would bring yourself down, amen, into our capacity to receive you. I pray, God, amen, that you would fill this room with your presence and our lives, God, with your spirit. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. I believe, God, that's your intent for us, that we be filled with your spirit. Amen. Overflowing with your spirit. In Jesus' great name we pray. Everybody said amen. Hallelujah. The scripture, 1 Corinthians 15 and 6 says, Jesus appeared to more than 500 people after his resurrection. So in 40 days, he died, buried, and rose again. He spent 40 days on the earth showing up. He showed up to the apostles. He showed up in the upper room. And they told the guy that wouldn't believe, he showed up. And he's like, Doubting Thomas, I don't know whether he did or not. You say he did. I don't know. And so the next time he showed up and Jesus pulled out his hands, put your fingers in my hands, pulled open his robe, said, put your hand in my side, don't doubt but believe, because there's going to be others coming who don't see the hole in the hand, who don't see the hole in my side, and they're going to be believers, and they're going to be a better believer than you, because you only saw it, you only believed because you saw it, but they're going to believe it, amen, even though they can't see it. Let me be clear today. I'm going to put myself in the room with the believers. I believe Jesus came and died for my sins and rose again, amen, and was risen up into heaven. And just like he said, Jesus is coming back to catch us away, amen. He is going to carry us away. If you believe the word of God, if you believe in Jesus Christ, amen, he comes for you to take you home. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe that's the gospel. Amen. I believe that's clearly the gospel. James 4 and 8, though, says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh. To you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Where does the impetus live? There's a push-pull here. Who has to move? Let me say it again. Who has to move? Come on, say it a little louder. Who has to move? How about you switch around and say, I do. Amen. God said, I will come to you if you will come to me, I'm going to come to you. Now, let's be clear. I already started out the lesson or the sermon today with the idea that God has been at work in your life without your realization. Amen. But God really wants to consummate a relationship. God wants to establish a relationship. Amen. In order for you to grow in God, you've got to come to God. God's not going to come to you and jam himself down your throat. Now, I've already said, and I'm going to say it again, you may hear this a lot today. God's already been in your life. God's already been present in your life. God's already been knocking on the door of your life. God's already been in your thoughts and maybe even your prayers. Amen. But maybe you're not exactly where you want to be with God. And I'm here to tell you that God wants to move a little further in your life than you've had him move yet. And I believe I'm preaching to somebody that wants God to move a little further in their life than they've had God move yet. And I'm just preaching to you. The rest of the congregation that's here, they're just here to be background noise and agree with me. Listen, if I preach this sermon and you sit there like this, they're not going to have any idea where I'm telling the truth or not. And those that I'm preaching to, the majority of the people in this room that are hearing my voice, you know God picked you. You know God brought you up out of miry clay. You know God drew you into the church. You know God has forgiven you. You know God has washed you. You know God has cleansed you. You know God has picked you up out of the miry clay and put your feet on a rock to stay. God has been engaged in our lives. Amen. So let me reemphasize this. You say, well, you emphasize, my wife tells me, quit repeating yourself. They know what you mean. No, it doesn't seem like it. It doesn't seem like it. I'm kind of fishing for something here. Amen. The idea that God would move into your life and change your life and you not testify. And you not acknowledge publicly, amen, God's done a work in my life. Amen, God's been at work in my life. Do you know what it does? Do you know what preaching and the congregation is about? I've had some of you in this church for years and I thought you'd know what it was about. What I'm doing every single week up here in the pulpit and what you're doing in the pew. If you don't need this sermon, then you're really needed in the sermon. If I'm not preaching to you, then you're preaching with me. Amen. Because when people don't, listen, if people don't hear somebody say amen, they don't have any idea that you agree. They don't have any idea that there is a power of God that moves in your life, that picks you up, amen, that takes you out of sin and makes your life different. But if they hear you, amen, then they're all of a sudden convinced that that guy's not lying, amen, but he's telling the truth, that God will get you off the bench and stop riding the pine and get your life into the game, out into the field. Amen. Be a catcher. Be a hitter. Be on first base. Amen. Work in the kingdom of God. Serve in the battle for souls. Fight with me. Amen. For the kingdom of God. In your work, in your home, in your family. God never saved you to sit on the bench. God never saved you to sit on the pine. Amen. You misunderstand salvation if you think, I got saved. I'm so thankful. Saved, 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 I'm saved. Hallelujah, I'm saved. Saved, God loves me, God saved me, God picked me up. Amen, God washed away drugs or alcohol or whatever it was that was binding you. Thank God I'm saved. Don't none of the young people take a picture of me and post it on Facebook. There's all kinds of stuff got posted recently. I'm not sure. If you're not going to put the context of the sermon and why I'm doing some of the things, you just post some goofy image, and you post it up on Facebook, everybody's going to say, my God, I won't want to go to that church. Some crazy preacher up there. I don't want to go to a crazy preacher church. Amen. But if you're crazy for Christ, somebody needs to burn. Somebody needs to be on fire. Somebody's spirit needs to be on fire for God. Amen. Say, yeah, I want God to do a work in somebody's life. I want God to save somebody. I want God to reach somebody. Amen. I am on fire because it's a fire of the Holy Ghost inside of me. Because he put his spirit inside of me. Amen. And I'm in the game. I don't know about you, but I'm in the game. I'm fighting for souls. I want people to be saved. I want people to fall in love with God. And I can't do it passively. I can't do it reservedly. And I can't do it mentally. I don't want you to mentally assent to God. I don't think mental ascension is what caused the disciples to travel the world, preach the gospel, and get nailed to crosses upside down, boiled in oil, filleted alive. I don't think that's what got the church where it is today, where the Romans throwing them out into a field, amen, and sicking lions and tigers on them, and the crowd cheering, amen, as they're torn asunder. Listen to me. People have been committed to the gospel with their very lives. The only reason the church is here today in Africa, Christians are being burned alive, heads cut off. Amen. They're being attacked in Indonesia. They're being attacked in India. They're being killed in China. They're being locked up and put away in prison. Listen to me. Amen. You don't know when that might come. That whole wear a mask, take a shot thing, that was a preemptive thing. That was a preemptive control. I don't believe they're done. I don't believe governments of the world are done. That's not in my notes. It's in my heart. I don't think they're done. I think Armageddon has a horizon. I think Gog and Magog are going to gather together against Israel. Forty days. I saw 500 different people. 40 days. I got to ask this question. Where's blind Bartimaeus when they gathered in the upper room? Where was the little boy up in northern Israel that was dead and they raised him up? Where was the man with the withered hand that God spoke to and he was healed? What about the guy where the friends of four buddies gathered together and ripped the ceiling open and let him down in, and Jesus healed him, forgave him first, and then healed his body? Where was he in the upper room? You add up the number of people that were healed and saved that are just listed in Scripture. And that's quite a few people that were healed and saved. And it says also, and he healed all that came with the disease. And so there are multitudes of people that Jesus went around and preached the gospel to and healed. Where were they when they hung him on the cross? Who stood for him? Who stood up and said, hey, he healed me. I was blind, but now I see. Who stood there and said that? Who ran up to the cross and said, you don't understand, I was crippled. You shouldn't kill him because he healed my legs. Nobody. Nobody. No blind people. No lame people. No leprous people. What about the 10 lepers that came to him? Unclean, unclean, unclean. Amen. And he said, hey, guys, calm down. You just go ahead and get clean. Amen. And they all looked down as they turned away. They obeyed him, turned away. They went back to show the priest, and their hands were clean, and their feet were clean, and their noses returned, and their ears were coming back. And all of a sudden, they realized something's going on. Only one of them, one of the 10, showed up and said, hey, Jesus, thank you. Thank you for what you did for me. Jesus, I appreciate that. But he didn't show up at the crucifixion. He's not mentioned throwing his hands up in the air and saying, hold it! Wait! Don't kill him. 500! I don't know what the incident was that he appeared to 500, but they must have been having something going on. I don't think they were having a big regional ball game, and he showed up out in left field and waved at everybody, hey, Jesus is here at the ball game. I don't know what happened, where, how he appeared to 500, but the 500 aren't recorded in the upper room. So a lot of people that God healed that seemed content to sit on the bench. That's not my role. That's not my ministry. It's not my job. You've got to go back to get to where I'm going in this sermon. You got to go back to Acts chapter 1. And Jesus said, you need to go to Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And you shall be witnesses. You're going to be stand up and tellers. Amen. You're going to raise your right hand, put your left hand on the Bible, and say, I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Jesus saved me. Jesus washed me. Jesus cleansed me. Jesus made a difference in my life. Put it on Facebook. There's got to be some good that goes on Facebook. If you haven't noticed, if you're on Facebook, I've been putting some stuff on Facebook. I've been putting some of my sermon comments on Facebook, some of the things I'm preaching on Facebook. I've decided everybody ought to know about Jesus. Everybody ought to go to Sunday school. Everybody, I'm going to do it. If they don't walk up, I'm going to go out and tell them, amen, that Jesus is bigger than you can imagine. Jesus has more impact than you realize, that God is bigger than you think he is. And the biggest thing the devil does is try to get you to think of a small God. God that doesn't see me. A God that doesn't care about my problems. A God that's not interested in what I'm doing. Amen. I tell you what, you know what will change your world? Do what Jesus said. Tarry until you get the Holy Ghost. and receive power, and then be witnesses. Listen, if you go around saying, hey, Jesus, man, he really did a work in my life. Did you know Jesus healed my wife? I've told the story many times. Have I ever told you the story? Jesus healed my wife? Did I tell you the story? Have I told you the story? Well, let me tell you again. Amen. Somebody might be listening to us, and I'll just go ahead and tell you. I stood in line and talked with, I think it was Rye and Sister Johnson. And I stood in line and talked to Rye. Nobody spoke. They all just stood there and listened to me. It's the funniest thing in the world. I wasn't correcting him. The other day, his mom started paying him to do work around the house. He wanted money, and so she said, well, you got to get a job, and here's your jobs. And so he started making money, didn't you? She owes him $9. I don't know if she's paid it yet, but he told me. I know, but you said she owes you $9. You have $9. You already had $9. She's holding it for you. He's either going to be a lawyer or a preacher. Got to get the details right there, Papa. His mom told us, amen, she said, now, you got to give. You ought to pay your tithe, which is 10% of... He said... I don't want to do that. I want to buy me something. I want to get me stuff. And I don't want to have to pay the church. You're going to be engaged in paying for the preacher and the lights and the pews and the people that clean and the Sunday school material that's downstairs and the electronics that's up there and up there. And the air conditioning, and the instruments, and the Sunday school literature, and the youth pastor or the assistant pastor, Isaac, and maybe help the youth pastor or the young people go to camp or whatever. Well, I want to pay what I want to pay for. Well, that don't work that way. You know, just think about it. If your boss paid for just what he liked about what you did or just what he liked about the job... Because sometimes you show up like a grouch. And he don't want to pay for that. He don't want to pay for the attitude. He doesn't want to pay for the complaining. He wants to pay that a good job. You see, there's a whole package that happens, amen, when you're part of the church. And everybody ought to help. Everybody ought to support. Everybody ought to give. And Rye paid his tithe. Didn't you, buddy? He put 50 cents in an envelope. And his mom wrote his name on it. He did it. I'm telling you, 50 cents, gas is almost $5 a gallon. Do we need his 50 cents? Only because he needs to be on the team. Amen. If you don't, you get everything for free. And I feel like this is worth something. The amen count went down. I have a little amen meter in the back, and it's counting amens, and it went down just a little bit. I apologize. I'm having too much fun. Luke 2:24-49. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power. You know, if you've never had that power, you don't understand it. I mean, it's One time in my life, a man gave me $1 million. One time. He gave me $1 million in gold. And he said, and he said is really important. And he said, I'm going away on vacation, and when I come back, I want it all back. So he didn't give me for me to use. You know that's, look at me. You know that's true. I'm not running around with $1 million stuck in some box somewhere or invested in the stock market. But he loaned me $1 million. So I know what it's like to have the key to somebody's $1 million. And he literally gave me the key. I drove to the bank, went in and met the banker, and he said, see, I'm giving this guy a key, and he's going to have access to my $1 million worth of gold. If something happens to me, he's in charge of it. And, I mean, I'm sitting there. He's handing me the key to $1 million. I'm shaking. I'm thinking, yee-haw. No, I'm not. So when he comes home, I said, man, I hope you had a great time. Here's your $1 million key back. And handing him back his key. Never saw any of it. Never touched any of it. But I had the key. It's a whole different experience if you have the gold. I mean, you have the account and it's yours. Scrooge McDuck, mine, all mine. Dive in, swim through your money. Having the Holy Ghost, having God's Spirit live inside of you. Amen. Literally, the Bible talks about out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. Jesus said that we are to be born of the water and born of the Spirit, and that God would flow through your life. How do you get there? Amen. The Bible says you repent. God, forgive me of all that I've done, of all the mistakes I've made, all the times I didn't know you were engaged, I didn't know you were looking, I didn't know you cared. God, but now through the Word of God, I realize you see me, you know me, you care for me. God, you want to live in me. Amen. God, I need you to forgive me. Every head bowed right where you're at. God, I need you to forgive me. God, I need you, as David said, create in me a clean heart and a right spirit. God, wash me, purge me. Amen. Do a work in my life. God, I want to know you. I want to know you in that power that you talked about. God, I want your Spirit to live in me. I want to be on your team, God. I'm tired of being either on the bench or playing against you on the other team. I didn't even know I was on the other team. But God, I realize I want to be on your side, in your presence. And I feel, God, you're speaking into my life. God, I want you to forgive me. God, I want you to give me the power to forgive those who have trespassed against me. Somebody in this room, maybe a couple of somebody's in this room, with your head bowed, I want you to pray that. And everybody else, you've got to be engaged with me. I want you to pray for them. Amen. That they would know what you know and they would have what you have. Come on, would you pray? In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Everybody in the room, you're playing for one side or the other. Come on, decide whose side you're on and get in the field. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I pray, God, that you would move in this place. God, that you would move in people's hearts and lives. I pray that your spirit would have its way in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. They tarried. The Bible said they prayed. Amen. They called out to God. God, would you help us? God, would you come into the to us? Would you move into this place? Amen. In my heart, in my life. God, would you give me power? For 10 days, they cried out to the Lord. Amen. They worshiped and sang songs. And God, do a work in my life. Amen. They tarried for days. Amen. I don't believe it's going to take days for somebody to get full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You can do it in an instant. A week ago, 2 weeks ago, a lady came and she said, you know what? I've been studying for 3 years. You preached a sermon like this 3 years ago, and I decided when I went home, I'm going to find out what the Bible says about it. And she said she started looking through the Word of God, and she found where people were filled with the Holy Ghost. After Acts chapter 2, people kept getting filled with the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 5, Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 10, Acts chapter 19. Paul talked about it in 1 Corinthians. Hey man, he finally said in 1 Corinthians 14, I thank God I speak in tongues more than you all. Hey man, as the Spirit of God continued to move in the disciples and the apostles and the early church, hey man, people were hungry for God to do a work in their life. Amen. And I'm preaching to you. You may not even understand it. This may be the first time you've ever heard anything like it. But I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, is in this room. And God loves you. And God will help you. If you're in a morass, if you're in a difficulty, listen, we've got about 130, 40 people in this room. And everybody's praying for you. Everybody's reaching out. God, do a work in their life. Amen. God, touch their heart. God, let them know that you're real. God, do a work in their life. Pick them up out of miry clay. Whatever difficulty they face, God, you've got a solution for that. Amen. Church, am I telling the truth? Are you doing that? Amen. God, do a work. Release them. Amen. Bind the devil in their life. Bind the enemy's voice in their ears and in their heart. Amen. Let them hear the voice of Jesus. Amen. That they are loved. God, they are cared for. Amen. That your Spirit wants to fill them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus had a purpose to send them to Jerusalem for 10 days. They weren't ready on day one. It wasn't time. Amen. But when the day of Pentecost was fully come, that celebration I told you he set 1,500 years before, here it is. Amen. Jesus died and was crucified on the Passover, a celebration that's 1,500 years old, and then a 1,500-year celebration called Pentecost, and that's where new things began to spring up out of the ground, and they would gather those new things, and they would offer, amen, new fresh plants to the Lord in celebration because of the coming harvest. Amen. God, we celebrate. You're going to do great things. Hear me, I'm preaching to you. Amen. God's going to do great things in your life. God's going to do great things in your heart. God's going to do great things in your family. God's going to do a great move of God in you. Amen. God's going to do miracles in your life. God's going to do, you can't even imagine all the good things that God's going to do in your life. He's going to wash away sin. He's going to strengthen you when trouble is on the way. He's going to show you, amen, a way to escape. God's going to lead and guide your path. He'll do miracles in your life. Amen. Our God's going to do phenomenal things that you can't even understand, and it would be hard for you to believe. But I'm telling you, that's our God. And I'm telling you, there's a number of testimonies in this building that if you've met them, they would all say, man, what the preacher preached for me, it's amazing what God has done in my life. Stand with me, would you? I feel the Spirit of the Lord calling. Amen. I want it to be easy. I don't want you to be embarrassed. And I'm going to ask the church that's in the field with me, fighting for souls, everybody that's in the field with me, I want you to come to the altar for a minute. I'd like everybody to step out. I want you to invite you with them. Amen. I'm not trying to point you out. I'm not trying to embarrass you. But as the church begins to step out and come, I'm going to invite everybody. Amen. I feel the Spirit of the Lord here. Hallelujah. I want everybody to come. In the name of the Lord. In the name, I want you to come prayerfully. Amen. I want you to come sincerely. Hallelujah. God, we need a move of God. Amen. We need a move of God. If you're not praying with somebody in a minute, I want you to pray for our Friday night revival service up in Michigan. Amen. You can put that on your prayer list this week. We want to see people saved everywhere. We started a church in Chicago. They're already baptizing people, and people are getting the Holy Ghost in Chicago. Amen. Our Spanish church is baptizing people, and people are getting the Holy Ghost here in the afternoons on Sunday or during the week. They're baptizing people. I'm telling you, God's doing a work, amen, in and through us. Would you pray? Amen. Would you find somebody, put a hand on them? Amen. Would you join with somebody? Amen. In the name of the Lord. Come on, we want to celebrate a God that will work 1,500 years, amen, to save us. Amen. 1,500 years and surprise us. Hallelujah. In the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. Amen. I feel the Spirit of God in this place. Amen. God's able to do it. Right where you're at, reach out to somebody next to you. Amen. Right where you're at, God do a work. Amen. God surprise us. Oh, my Father, I pray, God, we're open. Amen. We open ourselves to you, oh God. Amen. Have your way, God. Have your way in our life. Amen. Pick us up out of miry clay. I pray in the name of the Lord that your Spirit would do a work in our lives. Amen. God, that your Spirit would do a work in our lives. In the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. Amen. God, if we've been on the sidelines, I pray, amen, God, that you would show us a way to get in the field. God, that you would show us a way to get engaged, amen, and see revival in my area. God, I want to see revival in my community. I want to see revival in my family. Amen. God, I want you to do that work. I pray in the name of the Lord. God, create in me a clean heart and a right spirit. In the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord, God, that you would move, God, that you would hear and answer prayer, God, that you would make a way in our lives, in the name of the Lord, amen. If you want somebody to pray with you, step forward, come on down to the altar, amen. If you want God to do a work, you have a special need, amen. You want God to answer that prayer. If you came in struggling with your faith and you want, amen, to renew that faith, step forward. Amen. God, do a work in my life. God, answer my prayer. Make a way, God, where there is no way. In the name of the Lord.